You're about to dive into one of those cases, those cases that every corporate lawyer knows, Smith v. Van Gorkum. It's about a boardroom decision gone wrong, millions of dollars at stake, and well, it's a pretty stark lesson about due diligence, even for the most, seasoned executives.
Yeah, it's a case that still resonates in boardrooms even today, for
Cool.
sure.
So the setup is this. The board of TransUnion, pretty big public company, approves a merger in just 2 hours. Without even, get this, reading the entire agreement.
Oh, boy.
This ends up sparking a legal battle that really, I think, reshaped how we think about director liability.
Yeah, it's a classic case of what not to do when you're, dealing with a company's future.
It raises some really interesting questions too, like can a fair price, can that excuse a flawed process? How much diligence is really enough? And how powerful is that business judgment rule that we always hear about?
Yeah, right.
I think it's time to dive in.
Let's do it. Let's start with TransUnion itself. So the company was struggling with these investment tax credit issues. They had all these tax credits that they just couldn't fully use, and it was creating like a cash flow problem.
Right, so they were looking for a solution, and I guess that's where our CEO, Jerome Van Gorkum, comes in.
Right. And Van Gorkum was, I mean, he was no rookie. He was a former CEO, experienced in business dealings. But what he did next was kind of surprising. He went off and independently negotiated a sale of the entire company
Wow.
to this businessman named Jay Pritzker.
Okay.
And he did all this without consulting the board or even getting any formal valuation of TransUnion.
Wait, so he just went off and made a deal for the whole company on
Yeah.
his own. No board approval,
Yeah.
no expert advice. That seems like a huge risk.
It was a bold move, to say the least. So Pritzker offered to buy TransUnion for $55 per share. Now, whether or not that was a fair price is, well, that's a whole other debate. We'll get to that. But the point is, this price wasn't based on any rigorous analysis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, like, financial models, no teams of experts crunching numbers.
So they were playing with the company's future based on what? Van Gorkum's intuition.
Essentially, yes. He did do like some back of the envelope calculations with the company's controller, but those were more focused on, I guess, the feasibility of a leveraged buyout, not figuring out what TransUnion was actually worth.
Okay, so like alarm bells were already going off in my head. What happened next? Did he at least go back to the board and say, "Hey, look at this deal I made"?
He did. He did. On September 20, 1980, Van Gorkum called a special board meeting to present this merger.
Okay.
And this is where things get really, really interesting.
I have a feeling you're about to tell me this board meeting was, well, not exactly a textbook example of due diligence.
Let's just say it wasn't their finest hour. So the board, which by the way was made up of experienced individuals, both internal and external directors, they approved the merger after just a 2-hour discussion.
2 hours. That's barely enough time for like a brainstorming session,
Yeah.
let alone a decision that impacts a company's entire future. Did they at least read the merger agreement? Did they look at the financials? Did they get some independent advice?
Nope.
Really?
Lucky none of that.
Wow.
The court records show that they relied almost entirely on Van Gorkum's oral presentation.
All
They
right.
didn't even read the full merger agreement before they, gave it their stamp of approval.
So imagine being in that room, as a director, responsible for protecting those shareholder interests. And you're just relying solely on the CEO's word for this like multi-million dollar decision.
Yeah.
This case is a stark reminder of why that meticulous documentation is so crucial, even when you're dealing with, people you trust.
Absolutely. And of course, that wasn't the end of the story. This was a public company, and when the news of this merger went public, some shareholders were, well, they were outraged.
I bet.
They claimed that the board had completely failed, in its duty to protect their interests.
Which makes sense. They basically signed away the company after a 2-hour meeting and what, a PowerPoint. And that's how we get Smith v. Van Gorkum.
Exactly. It was that shareholder lawsuit that led to this, landmark Delaware Supreme Court decision.
Okay, so we've set the scene. Now let's get into the legal weeds a bit. What were the specific legal questions that the court had to grapple with in Smith v. Van Gorkum?
Well, it really boiled down to two key issues. First, did the TransUnion board breach its duty of care to the shareholders by not properly informing themselves before they approved the merger?
Right.
And second, if they did breach their duty of care, were they still protected by that business judgment rule?
Ah, yes. The famous business judgment rule. It's like the legal shield that's supposed to protect directors from getting sued for every decision they make, right?
That's the idea. Yes. It's meant to give directors some breathing room to exercise their judgment without, you know, constantly fearing litigation.
But in this case, it seems like that shield failed to protect them.
It did. The Delaware Supreme Court ruled that the TransUnion Board had breached their duty of care.
Okay.
And not just a little bit. They found the directors grossly negligent.
Wow.
A pretty harsh judgment.
Grossly negligent does sound bad.
Yeah.
So no business judgment rule protection for them.
No. The court's message was that, you know, the business judgment rule is important, but it only protects informed decisions. Think of it like a doctor's duty to a patient. They can't just prescribe medication without, you know, a proper examination and diagnosis.
Right, right.
So similarly, a board can't just make decisions about a company's future without thorough analysis and careful consideration. Precisely.
Yeah.
In Van Gorkum, the court found that the board's haste, their lack of due diligence, meant that they weren't just wrong. Their decision was uninformed.
Yeah.
And that meant, you know, they weren't protected by the business judgment rule.
But wait, there's another side to this story, right?
Yeah.
Didn't some of the judges actually disagree with this harsh judgment?
Yes. Smith v. Van Gorkum is actually pretty famous for its dissenting opinions, and they highlight just how complex the issues were.
So we've got this board, right, full of, like, experienced physicist people making this huge decision without, it seems like, doing their homework.
Right.
And then you've got these judges disagreeing on whether they were actually negligent or not. Mm-hmm. This is getting pretty complicated.
It is. It is a really complex case. And those dissenting opinions are important to consider. So one of the dissenting judges, Justice McNeely, argued that, you know, even though the process was definitely rushed, the directors were highly qualified. They weren't just blindly following Van Gorkum. I mean, they understood TransUnion and its business.
So he's saying that their experience and expertise should, like, carried more weight. Like, they deserve some benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And he also pointed out that the board eventually did manage to secure, like, a limited market test.
A market test.
Yeah. They briefly explored whether any other companies might be interested in buying TransUnion, you know, maybe for a higher price.
So even though they rushed the initial decision, they did at least try to get a sense of the market.
Right. And then another dissenting judge, Justice Christie, you know, he focused on the fact that the shareholders themselves ended up ratifying the merger.
Oh, okay.
So in his view, that basically, like, forgave any breach of duty by the board.
Interesting. So two dissenting opinions, both raising some, I mean, valid points. But in the end, the majority of the court sided against the TransUnion board. What were their reasons? What were their reasons for finding the board, you know, grossly negligent?
Yeah.
What exactly did they do wrong?
Yeah. So the majority opinion was very critical of the board's actions. They pointed to a bunch of specific failures, I guess, that, like, demonstrated this disregard for their duty of care.
Well, let's hear them. What were the failures?
Well, first of all, the court really slammed the board for not even trying to figure out TransUnion's actual value. Like, they didn't even commission an independent valuation.
Wow.
They didn't analyze, like, comparable companies or anything. They just, you know, took Van Gorkum's word for it on the $55 per share.
That does seem like a pretty big oversight, considering they were selling the entire company.
Yeah, and remember, they didn't even read the full merger agreement. So the court really saw that as a complete failure to, you know, inform themselves about the deal.
So it wasn't necessarily about the $55 price tag itself. It was about the complete lack of, like, process and due diligence.
Yes, exactly. It was more the how than the what. Like, the court just felt that, you know, that two-hour meeting was simply not enough time for such a massive decision. They should have taken more time, they should have gathered more information, and they should have deliberated more carefully.
So the court's sending a message, I guess, hey, boards, you can't just wing it. That this case happened way back in 1980. What's been, like, the lasting impact of Smith v. Van Gorkum on, you know, how companies operate today?
Oh, the impact has been huge. Like, it really changed the game for corporate governance. You know, directors suddenly became very aware of their potential personal liability for, you know, messing up their duty of care.
I bet that led to some sleepless nights for a lot of folks on boards across the country.
You can say that again. So one of the most immediate effects was this huge boom in, you know, D&O insurance.
Ditto.
Yeah, directors and officers liability insurance. You know, boards wanted to protect themselves financially in case they got sued.
Makes sense. Cover your assets, literally.
Hmm.
But beyond insurance, like, how else did things change?
Well, there was a massive shift towards documentation and process, you know. No more, like, 2-hour meetings to decide the fate of a company.
I'd say good riddance to those.
Right. Van Gorkum, I mean, it really ushered in the era of, I guess, the checklist in the boardroom. You know, like fairness opinions, independent valuations, detailed minutes. These all became standard practice after Van Gorkum.
Oh, okay.
Boards wanted that clear paper trail, right, to show that they had done their due diligence.
So in a way, this case forced boards to become more professional and less reliant on, like, informal decision-making.
That's a really good way to put it. And on top of all that, Van Gorkum led to a very specific change in Delaware law, the adoption of what's called Section 102B7.
Okay, break that down for me. What are these 102B7 provisions, and how do they connect back to the case?
So these provisions essentially allow companies to, like, limit or even completely eliminate the personal liability of directors for breaches of their duty of care.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a safety net for directors, but built right into the law.
Right, exactly. But there's a catch. You know, these provisions don't protect directors from liability for, like, breaches of their duty of loyalty or for acting in bad faith. It's specifically about shielding them from, you know, monetary damages for those duty of care violations.
The Van Gorkum leads to this surge in D&O insurance, a more, you know, rigorous decision-making process, and this new legal tool to limit liability. It's amazing how one case can have such a, like, ripple effect.
It really is. Smith v. Van Gorkum is a powerful example of how legal precedent can reshape entire industries.
But, you know, you mentioned earlier that there's still this debate about whether the decision was the right one. What are, like, the main criticisms? Why do some people think the court was, you know, a little too harsh?
So some legal experts argue that the court, you know, maybe focused too much on the process and not enough on the actual outcome.
Meaning, even if the board, you know, messed up procedurally, they still got, like, a decent price for the shareholders.
Right. Some critics say that, hey, maybe that $55 per share was fair, even though the process was flawed. You know, they think the court should have given more weight to, you know, the board's experience and their good faith.
So they're worried that Van Gorkum has made directors, like, too afraid to make bold decisions, even if those decisions might ultimately be, like, good for the shareholders.
Yeah, that's one concern. They think it creates, like, a chilling effect on bold leadership.
On the other hand, what do the people who support the Van Gorkum ruling say?
Well, they argue that, you know, Van Gorkum was a necessary wake-up call.
Okay.
It reminded everybody that directors can't just, like, coast on their reputations and their experience. They have a real duty to protect shareholder interests.
Right.
And that means, you know, being diligent and being informed.
So it's about making sure the directors are actually, you know, doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Not just relying on, like, gut feelings or past successes.
Exactly. It's about accountability. And they argue that, you know, duty of care is a fundamental legal principle for a reason. It's there to protect shareholders from reckless decision making.
It seems like this debate really boils down to this, like, fundamental tension in corporate law. You've got to protect shareholder interests, but you've also got to give directors, like, some room to exercise their judgment, right? It's a tough balance to strike.
Absolutely. And there's no easy answer, which is probably why Smith v. Van Gorkum is still such a controversial case all these years later.
So we've got this legal tug of war. Some people think the court went too far. Others think they didn't go far enough. But let's shift gears for a sec. What does all this mean for, like, the lawyers who advise these corporate boards? What are the key takeaways from Van Gorkum for them?
Well, if there's one big lesson, it's that documentation is king.
Oh, okay.
Like, lawyers need to advise their clients to meticulously document every step of the decision-making process, especially for, you know, big transactions like mergers.
Create that paper trail. Cover your bases. Got it.
Exactly. And they should also stress the importance of, like, independent advice. For example, getting a fairness opinion from a, you know, respected investment bank that can help show that the boards really tried to, you know, inform themselves.
So don't just rely on what the CEO is saying. Get some outside objective expertise.
Exactly. And finally, you know, lawyers should advise their clients to resist those artificial deadlines, like the one that Pritzker imposed in this case. Don't let yourselves get rushed into a decision.
Because when you rush, you make mistakes.
Exactly. Boards need time to think, gather information, make good decisions.
So Smith v. Van Gorkum is all about process, due diligence, and the limits of the business judgment rule. Definitely required reading for anyone, I think, involved in corporate law. And it's a good reminder that even, like, the most experienced people, they can still make big mistakes.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Right. But before we wrap things up, I want to get your take on this. So Van Gorkum was about a merger, right? But these lessons seem like they could apply to all kinds of corporate decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like those principles of due diligence, informed decision making, documentation, they're relevant anytime a board's making a big decision that could affect the company and its shareholders.
So it's not just about mergers and acquisitions. It's about any decision with, major legal or financial consequences.
Right. So think about a board that's, deciding whether to build a new factory or to launch a new product line. They need to be just as careful and thorough as if they were like considering a merger.
Or a board dealing with like a crisis.
Yeah.
Something like a product recall or a cyber attack.
Exactly. In those high pressure situations, it's even more important to follow a good process, gather all the information, document everything.
So the key takeaway is that Van Gorkum isn't just a cautionary tale for M&A lawyers. It's a reminder for anyone who works with companies that that process matters. How you make the decision is just as important as the decision itself.
I completely agree. And failing to understand that can have some pretty serious consequences.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground, the failures, the fallout, the debates. But if you had to like boil it all down, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember from Smith v. Van Gorkum? What's that enduring lesson?
I think the most important lesson is that in corporate law, the how matters just as much as the what.
Mm.
Like, even if you get a good outcome, say a fair price in a merger, you can still, land in hot water if the process was flawed.
So it's not enough to just get the right answer. You got to get there the right way.
Exactly. And that means, being diligent, being informed, and really creating that clear record of your decision making.
It's a powerful reminder, too, that even like the most experienced and well-intentioned directors, they can still make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And those mistakes can have some serious consequences.
Absolutely. It's a case that every corporate director and every lawyer who advises them should really keep in mind.
Well said. So, wrapping things up here, Smith v. Van Gorkum, it's a fascinating look at, I think, boardroom dynamics, corporate law, and that really tricky balance between, business judgment and legal liability.
Yeah, it has been a pleasure breaking it all down with you.
Likewise. And to our listeners, I hope you found this deep dive informative and engaging.
I'm sure they did. It's a case that always, sparks debate and gets people thinking.
And for anyone who's ready to, go even deeper, we encourage you to check out those full court opinions, explore those dissenting viewpoints, and just consider how the lessons of Van Gorkum continue to shape, corporate decision making even today.
There's always more to learn.
That's the truth. Well, that concludes our deep dive into Smith v. Van Gorkum. Until next time, keep diving deep into all the complexities of the legal world.
And always remember, the details matter.